Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
D-Mace, Vingit and Donick, 102.5. The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingit, and Connor Newt here with you. Let's go to our phone line. Driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Nick Suss of the Tennessean to talk Titans. And if I know Nick Suss, he is sad about the elimination of the Pro Bowl. Isn't that right, Nick?
I have so few feelings about this. I have not registered a single emotion. I have not even considered thinking about feeling something.
That, I think you speak for a lot of people when discussing the news that broke that the NFL is saying so long to the actual Pro Bowl game. So, Nick, about a month ago, you were here in studio with me and Connor previewing Titans training camp. We're a month into it now. The end is in sight of training camp. What is an opinion that you held going into training camp that has changed after watching a month of training camp about the Titans?
Well, my instinct is towards self-deprecation, so I guess I'll start with something that I feel like I was probably wrong about. I came into training camp with fairly high expectations for the starting five in the Titans secondary. Not necessarily that they'd be Pro Bowl caliber players, rest in peace, but that they would be able to justify people not being anxious about the defensive backfield given the depth concerns. I thought you got five people who should be starters on NFL teams. That's good enough. It has not seemed good enough as of yet. I have changed my mind in that direction, that some of the people who were more concerned than I was maybe had a little bit more right for concern than I would have expected. But I'll also say I spent a lot of time yesterday talking to, I think, four different Titans coaches about what it is specifically that makes the transition into the type of coverage Robert Saleh prefers and into the defense that the Titans will be running such an arduous process. And now I think I have a slightly better understanding of why things have been a little bit slow developing there. But it's still, look, I'm not panicking because I've seen the preseason games. Those are the least of anybody's concern, the preseason, whatever. But I do think that what I'm seeing day in and day out in practice from the five starters as a unit is a little bit less impressive than what I would have anticipated.
So let's get into the weeds a little bit, Nick. After talking to the Titans coaches about the defensive scheme that Robert Saleh is running, what did you learn that maybe gave you more context about the struggles of the secondary?
Yeah, if you guys want a full read on this, Tennessean.com, obviously.
Shameless plug, of course.
The short version of this is when you guys hear the jargon of match and vision and the way that Saleh talks about it, the simpler way they could have been saying it is leaning more on zone coverage than man coverage. I think that would have saved some confusion for a lot of people. But essentially what they're having to teach players to do is to go from keeping your eyes on the player you're covering to keeping your eyes on what the quarterback's doing. And doing that is going to create a lot more opportunities for batted passes and interceptions and turnovers and all of those mistake-creating plays. But it also creates a lot more cushion in the secondary. Receivers have more space to play with because the cornerback isn't connected to him at the hip. And because of that, when you're seeing a lot of these completions, it's because Titans players are having to learn how to instinctively break on the ball rather than already be where the ball is. And now you see it, so you chase after it, but there's still that adjustment of how quickly can you go? How much can you trust that you break when you're supposed to break? How much can you trust that your teammate's doing what he's supposed to do? And those things come from reps, and that's being instilled. And yeah, that seems to me like a harder thing to mentally handle. But I would also argue that it's probably much harder to stay step for step, stride for stride with a receiver, given where the rules are and with how athletic NFL receivers are. So the actual ask should be fairly easy from a physical capability perspective, but the reaction time, I'm not surprised that it's taking some time to hone.
We'll talk with Nick Suss discussing the Tennessee Titans. Now, Keldrick Falk has been, you know, showing up on film, and obviously he's been doing what he needed to do in practice. How long do you think it will be before he's ultimately the starter?
That's tough to say what even starter means in this system.
A guy that they because he's going to rotate those guys as he does.
Yeah.
You know that whole unit, but a guy that. You look at what Cody Barton brings to the table, his veteranism, guy that knows because he's been in the league, so he has an upper hand. But when you talk about just a flat-out skill, he's a little bit behind in regards to what Saleh wants to do from and what he wants from his backers.
Oh, are we talking about Anthony Hill?
Yeah, Anthony Hill. I'm talking about not Keldrick Falk. I'm sorry, Anthony Hill, yes.
Okay, that also makes sense. I could have given him an answer on either. But with Anthony Hill, look, I'm impressed by what I'm seeing with how quick the instincts have kicked in. I'm impressed by how naturally athletic he is. I also think that the conversation about Hill versus Barton is a little bit of a misnomer because it's not Hill versus Barton. It's Hill and Barton and James Williams and Muhammad Diabate. There are five linebackers. I didn't mention Cedric Gray because I feel like his spot is probably safe right now, but there are five linebackers on this team who look like they are good enough to play pretty regularly in this scheme. If anything separates any of them, it's the trust that the coaches have in Cody Barton's communication skills. So I like the way Anthony Hill talks and communicates. I think that he has that talent, and I think that he will someday be a candidate to do that. But in the early season, when the scheme is being still installed and when players are getting used to playing the scheme, and as the coaches kind of have to trust the simpler, more fundamental side because people haven't grasped the full nuance of it yet, I would be hard-pressed to take Barton off the field. I'll also say, and maybe this is just me seeing the game differently than a lot of other people, I thought Cody Barton's had a pretty solid camp. Most of the time when I look up on days that the defense is struggling, Barton is still the one who's around the ball a lot. So maybe that's just his familiarity playing in this type of system in the past, but I do give him the edge, at least for the first month of the season.
Now, with the struggles that the offense have had, and you spoke about it when you first came on, but with the struggles the offense have had over the course of the preseason, what encourages you? Because the fan base is looking at it from the standpoint of, hey, listen, I understand what you guys say in practice, but when we watch them on television, it looks totally different. And now we're not going to panic, but I think some of the fan base – they're panicking because of what they're seeing, the lack of productivity with the offense, the lack of consistency, and then they see their fourth overall pick. He's not getting the ball as much as they would like for him to get. But how confident in you that they can get this thing ready to go before the first game of the season?
The thing that gives me confidence ultimately is that the stuff that is supposed to be base is the stuff that's working. And I'm sure you can talk to this too, man, but like, I look at it and the plays that work in practice and the plays that are working in the preseason games are the plays that you install first. The base stuff is working. The stuff that's not working is the improvisational, the play on your feet, the out of structure stuff, which is discouraging since that's historically been Cam Ward's forte. But I'm encouraged to say that the stuff that this team needs to fall back on of, it's third down, we got one play, we got to run our best thing. The timing stuff, the rhythm stuff, the quick fire stuff, the run game stuff, all seems to be working rhythmically. It was not lost on me that we talk about vanilla play calling, we talk about how these preseason games are kind of bland. If you go back and watch the tape of the first team series, the three series against the Seahawks in that preseason game, Spears and Pollard ran the ball a combined four times, and all four of them were off of right guard. Mm-hmm. The one thing on this offensive line that people don't know about, the one thing that's kind of being tested, and that's all they did, was over and over again run it off of right guard, and that's all they wanted to see. To me, that's an indicator of they don't really need to test the run game. They trust where the run game's at. And then you look at the things that worked in that preseason game. Look, the first game against the Niners, I thought Cam looked pretty bad. The second game against the Seahawks, I do not know where the criticism of Cam in the passing game were necessarily coming from. I think he threw four incomplete passes. Two of them I would have graded as drops. One of them was probably a wrong shoulder miscommunication, and one of them was a bit of an overthrow where it could be argued that the route might have been cut off a little bit short. None of that, to me, screams something bad is happening. Now, the moments where he had to scramble out of the pocket and the moments where he was taking unnecessary hits and the moments where the structure broke down sooner than it should have, yeah, that's a concern. But when people are looking at, oh, Carnell Tate's not catching passes here, or, oh, this completion could have been smoother, that's kind of like, I'd say that's like a senior year course load when the Titans are doing a new offense and are probably at a point where they're only having a freshman and sophomore year course load. And the stuff that should be installed by now, the stuff that should be working by now, is working. So long answer to what you asked, but that's kind of the way I see it.
Nick Suss is with us from the Tennessean. Nick, I want to ask you the question we've been kicking around all week, and we've tried to get some outside perspective, especially with people like you who are watching every day and not just the preseason games or featuring the big practices. But at this point, and you've watched him from day one, what would you say is Cam Ward's number one strength as a quarterback?
I would say that Cam has developed to a point where I trust that he knows where the ball should go. I very, very rarely see plays that I would call bad decision throws. And when I do see bad decision throws, there is almost always a very cogent explanation from Cam about how that decision fooled him or what went wrong to lead to that. I don't want to sit here and call it awareness, because that's not exactly what it is. But I've developed some modicum of trust that when Cam releases the ball, it is going to the part of the field it's supposed to be going. Now, is it accurate enough? Not every time. Is it on time? Not every time. But I very, very rarely, and if you guys are at practice and you see differently than me, please let me know. But I very, very rarely see something and think, oh, that's not what should have happened. And that's progress.
Nick, the last one is the pass rush. This is where I think we all are hoping that with Robert Saleh, with Jeffrey Simmons, and then the revamped scheme where they brought in some guys that they hope are fits, that you feel like there's maybe a little bit of depth there with that rotation, we're hopeful they have a good pass rush. They had 42 sacks last year, which actually was more than I remembered it in my head. So they actually ranked in the top half of the league with that. But do you think they could top that number this year? Do you think they should top that number this year?
Yeah. So last year's pass rush, as you kind of alluded to, was deceptively effective. And credit to Denard Wilson for that. But could they top it this year? Sure. I think that that's plausible. I think that I'm pulling up a stat right here because it's impossible for me to believe. But it's true. I just double-checked it. Do you know what team led the NFL in pressure rate last year?
No.
Was the Dallas Cowboys led the NFL in pressure rate last year. Do you know what they also led the NFL in? Passing yards allowed.
They weren't very good. I was going to say, the defense was a problem. Yeah.
So there is something, and the Cowboys defensive line coach last year was Aaron Whitecotton. There is a connection there. The Titans are going to get pressure up front. The Titans are going to affect the quarterback because of the attack style. And I think that will lead to sacks because pressures lead to sacks more often than not. We understand how causation correlation works, but I also think that the excuse of, oh, the Titans are going to get more sacks, so that means that the rest of the defense is going to work, it's not always that simple. Sometimes you have a team like Denver last year, which was second in the NFL in pressure rate and I believe led the league in sacks, and they had a top three defense in football. Like, sometimes it's that
right.
Easy
it's supposed to
track.
And Nick, I couldn't believe when I saw this. I had to double check to make sure I was reading it right. But the team that had the least amount of sacks last year, the 49ers. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, and injuries were a huge contributing factor to that last year with the Niners and Nick Bosa being out. But still, you're right. The relationship here between are they going to get more sacks and is the defense going to be better is not as much of overlapping lines as people want to say it is. So I know I didn't exactly talk about what you wanted to talk about there, but yes, I do think that the sack rate can go up. Yes, I do think that the pressure rate will go up. I think that you go get John Franklin Myers, you go get Jacob Martin, you go get Jermaine Johnson, Keldrick Falk, Femi being healthy. You're going to have a deeper arsenal than the Titans last year were getting sacks with Jalen Harrell being one of the top guys, Truman Jones being one of the top guys, and now those were people competing for number five edge when camp started this year. There's going to be a difference, but I'm still, let's call it unconvinced, that being a more effective pass rush will necessarily connect to being a more effective defense.
Nick Suss of the Tennessean has been our guest on D-Mace, Ving and the Donick. Of course, you can read all of his excellent work at Tennessean.com. Nick, as always, a pleasure. We'll do it again soon.
Yes, we will.
615-737-1025. All right. It is time. The season premiere, the 32nd season premiere.
The champ is here.
Of Silly Underdog Picks. It is week zero in college football. Sorry, Derek, but that's what it is.
The champ is here.
He thinks he's Cena.
Derek is going to attempt to repeat as Silly Underdog champion, but I, Hal Gill, and yes, even Chris Sanders have something to say about it. We will start the competition coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingit, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingit, and Donick, 1025 The Game. It's been a long time since we heard that music. But there are actual college football games this weekend. So now it is time to start yet another season, the 32nd season of Silly Underdog Picks presented by our friends at Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Without any further ado, let's hand it over to the commissioner of Silly Underdog Picks, the one and only Willie Donick.
Oh, Willie D, ooh, 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 Willie. Oh, Willie D, Willie.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the 32nd season of the Silly Underdog Picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. This is your commissioner speaking.
Yeah.
Theme song in the background.
Willie.
It's great to be back with you once again.
Willie.
And before we commence on another great season, let's take one quick look back at the 2025 season. And Derek Mason has been waiting, chomping at the bit for this moment all day long. He's tweeted,
The champ is here. The champ is here.
And so let's one more time, before we turn the page, congratulate Derek Mason on his championship season. He came out of the gate quick, and the key victory was his very first. The New Mexico Lobos taking on Nico Iamaliava and the UCLA Bruins, who got off to a very troubled start, 15.5 points. He got that one under his belt and then came back the following week with another double-digit win with Maryland,
boom,
winning at Wisconsin for 10 more. And so from that point on, he led the competition. The second place finisher last year was Adam Vingit, who's got back-to-back solid finishes in his short time in this competition. Back-to-back silver medals.
And he's the first loser.
He did close to within striking distance, 6.5 points, with 2 weeks to go when he pulled off the win with Old Dominion, knocking off South Florida in the bowl game on the heels of his pick of Indiana, upsetting Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. So he had a respectable year, but it was all about D-Mace. He was able to win it. Third place, Chris Sanders, who had his notable long bomb, UAB, a 21.5-point winner over Memphis. How did that happen? I'm not even really sure because Memphis was pretty good and UAB was horrible.
Trent Dilfer, that's how.
Well, Trent Dilfer's back. He's back in Nashville.
Yes.
And the reason is because UAB didn't do very well last year. But
true,
we're glad to have Trent back. But it was not enough. Chris struggled, but he did overtake the rookie, Hal Gill, to finish third. thanks to a late victory by Chris in the competition. East Carolina's win over Pitt in the bowl game. Hal Gill had a great promising start. He had 17.5 points with South Florida's upset of the Gators in the Swamp in week number two. But he just fizzled down the stretch. So many very close losses that cost Hal Gill a chance at a rookie championship. But Hal is back for his sophomore year. Hal, how are you feeling about year two?
You know what? I'm excited. With every year, some people don't live in the past. Some people move on, and I'm going to do that. You're right. I had a lot of heartbreakers, and so I learned a lot my rookie season, and I think I've learned you have to overcome those. And sometimes you got to swing big, and sometimes you got to take little nibbles and get your points when you can. But in the end, it's all about heart. It's all about gut. And I learned a lot freshman year, and I'm coming back for my sophomore season, and I'm looking for better results.
This was Hal's season last mm-hmm. year, okay? Week 11, Iowa in the rain against Oregon, a chance to pull off a huge win. One play away, had a ball go off the fingertips, it would have clinched it. Oregon comes down yep. and kicks a field goal on the last play in the rain. To win at Iowa. And then the following week, the same thing happens with Northwestern, a 12.5-point dog against Michigan. Michigan kicked the field goal on the last play. So that hurt. And then, Hal, you capped it off with this one. In the FBS championship game, Illinois State against Montana State, 10.5 points on the line, 35-34 in overtime. So you're that close, Hal. So that's my motivational
literally
speech for you.
I literally just told you some people like to live in the past and I'm going to move on. And you just recapped every heartbreak I had last season.
I just like twisting the knife. That's
open
all.
Open the wound.
A chip on the shoulder, Hal Gill. That's what this is.
All these other clowns that I'm playing against remind me that I'm a loser on a daily basis.
I've never said anything of the sort.
That's right.
All right, so looking ahead, Hal, have you kept your committee – of Predator broadcasters in the mix? Are they going to be a part of this again this year, or are you going more on a solo mission here?
Yes, and I think as you've seen, Willie, I need to wake them up. The football season kind of crept up on them. There's not a lot of guidance this early week, this week one. I'm hoping that they will come around. Again, we have a strong team coming back with a broadcast crew and my support staff, and we're going to try to, they're in their second season too. So we're all learning, and we're all ready to take that next step.
I don't know how to take this, but in the text chain that includes this committee, we had one member of the committee saying, I'm just here for moral support and here for the partying. And number two, another individual said, it's already college football season? So
wow.
that ought to tell you what kind of guidance Hal got for week one.
Not much.
All right, so let's do this. Chris Sanders is still on the practice field with the Big Red of NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Hal is now a father of a Ensworth Tiger, so we got a little rivalry there. And we got D-Mace, who is a Ensworth dad as well. So yeah. Hal and D-Mace can bond over that. And Chris Sanders, of course, always coming fresh off the practice field. He will have the second pick because he finished third. Hal will have the first pick after the heartbreaking rookie season. Adam Vingan will pick third, and then the defending champion, D-Mace, will pick fourth. So let's start the competition with Hal Gill with the first pick of the season.
A little Boston flavor. Yeah. Aerosmith for Hal Gill,
nice.
Of course.
I like Aerosmith, and of course Willie and I have been known to sing that together, and that is not the high note that I can hit, by the way, apparently. That last dream on, I can't quite get there, but I'm going to go with my first pick. I'm going to take my boy Bill Belichick of UNC over in Dublin, ugh, Ireland for the Aer Lingus. And I have to ask you, I think we're going at 9.5 points. Am I right, Commissioner?
The very latest I see is 8.5. I don't know if that line just dropped earlier
today.
Well,
it's 9.5 on here.
On CBS Sports?
ESPN. I'm looking at ESPN.
Right. CBS Sports is the official.
It's 8.5 on CBS Sports.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go with 8.5. The Tar Heels in Dublin taking on TCU, which is the team that throttled them last year. And Adam Vingan has never been so excited for a show the following day to talk about a random opening game. Because when
Hi, Chris.
Okay.
Hey,
but Adam, just before we bring Chris in, because we want to do this properly when Chris comes to the forefront. But Adam, can you quickly describe your feelings after TCU beat North Carolina last year in the Bill Belichick debut?
It was tough at first because North Carolina went down the field and scored a touchdown on its opening drive, and everybody was excited. Michael Jordan was there. He was very excited. All the Carolina dignitaries. Then TCU opened up a can of whoop-ass on the Tar Heels. Final score, 48-14. I don't think Michael Jordan stayed for the whole game. It was awesome.
The ceiling is the roof.
So this is hopefully revenge for Bill Belichick in Dublin. Over across the pond. So, how good luck with that. So, now you heard his voice in the background.
And Willie.
Yes.
Willie, I just want to give a shout out. We got a big game coming up on Monday. It's the Varsity B, Ensworth versus NBA. I'm excited about that. And I'll be there watching that one, cheering on Ensworth.
And also heckling Chris Sanders, right?
That's right.
I want to trip you when I see you.
Well, you'll see him. That's for, exactly. It's hard to miss Hal.
Big tree fall hard when it comes to Hal Gale.
Oh, bluegill.
Bring me down.
Okay, so we'll have to keep monitoring that for sure with Talon, a ninth grader on the Ensworth Tigers. Okay, so let's bring in Chris Sanders, the forever Titan, fresh off the practice field, ready to make his first pick of the season. Chris, can we get a quick comment? I know Hal's theme is we move on from the past. But you're looking to get back into the champion circle. You have won this thing twice, but you like your philosophy. Will there be any change in philosophy this year, or are you still going for it all?
Absolutely not. I just want to let y'all know.
We know you're going to pick.
All of y'all are busters, and I'm the champ. Busters.
Get ready for San Jose State over USC here, guys.
Exactly. There you go. We know
play the song, Goddard. No. Play the song.
Hit him with the song.
No. God. There we go.
For those that might be new to the competition, when Chris wins a game in the underdog picks, he likes to text, "Hello, is it me you're looking for?" from Lionel Richie late at night. Sometimes it's a West Coast game. It doesn't matter. Whenever the game comes in, he will text the party and say, "I have won.
I'm going to call you."
Now, yes.
Here is my pick. I've never heard of this team ever in my life. Wow. Never. I just saw the spread. So I'm like, who the heck is this team? Sacramento State. Over Eastern Michigan. I just don't like Michigan, so I like Sacramento State.
Put some never respect on the Sacramento State Hornets name, Chris Sanders.
That's a good one, though.
This is when you know things are getting a little screwy in college football. Sacramento State, do you know what league that they play in?
The MAC.
Big Ten.
The MAC.
Well, Chris is close. Adam is right. The Mid-American Conference. Sacramento State, the Hornets.
Wow.
They are a 10.5-point dog in their MAC opener. They're playing a conference game against Eastern Michigan. So heading across the street, around the block to play a conference game, Sacramento State to Eastern Michigan. What city is Eastern Michigan in, Derek?
Ypsilanti,
Michigan. There we go.
Hey, as long as they give it their all, that's all that matters.
Okay. 30 minutes from Detroit.
So if let's just see. If I win, have y'all's phones on. Please
yes,
have them on.
If you win, but you're not.
You're going to be the first person I call. I got you on speed dial.
All right. That brings us to Adam Vingan, who has the third pick, his opening pick of the season.
Whoa.
All righty. Getting a little grimy in here. Yes, a new theme song every year. All right. We are mourning the loss of the brilliant, the beautiful, the wonderful Dolly Parton.
Is this her song?
No.
Is this because I was going to say
it is not Dolly Parton.
This doesn't sound like Dolly Parton.
No. But Dolly Parton once said, among many other brilliant things, quote, "If you want the rainbow, you got to put up with the rain.
And so I am inspired to take the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors on the road at Stanford. I believe Stanford is favored by 4.
Hawaii, indeed, on the road, playing against Stanford, who plays in what conference?
The Atlantic Coast Conference.
The Atlantic Coast Conference. Mm. That is today's college football. Mm. Hawaii, you never know what you're going to get with the Rainbow Warriors. But they are on the road to start the season at Stanford. So Adam has made his pick. And now, without further ado, it's time to introduce the defending champion, the Spartan himself, the pride of the green and white, Derek Mason.
What? Oh my God.
Come on now. That tells you what I'm on right now. The champ is here. I had to say that a few times, God. Willie. Yes, let me say it one more time so Chris can hear me. The champ is here. I'm the champ. All right. Who did you just pick, Adam? I want to make sure.
He took the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors.
That was one of my picks.
At Stanford State.
But I'm going to go right up the street. I'm going to Memphis. I'm picking the Tigers to win against UNLV. What is it, 4.5 points?
Yes, it is.
So I'm taking the Memphis Tigers.
Memphis with the new coach, mm-hmm, taking on UNLV. Anybody know who UNLV is being coached by right now? A name from the past.
Tark.
Former Tartania? SEC coach.
Dan Mullen.
Dan Mullen.
Wow. Mm.
He's still alive, and he's coaching UNLV.
Tark passed away, so.
Yeah, Tark.
Tark passed away.
But the spirit of Tark is ever present. He's always the first guy you think about when you think about UNLV with Larry Johnson and those guys. So Memphis is a 4.5-point dog at UNLV in the Raiders Stadium, Allegiant Stadium, in Paradise, Nevada, which is, I guess, just outside the city lines of Las Vegas. We can see it from our hotel when we go to Vegas. So, Derek has made his first pick. Let's recap week one of Silly Underdog Picks, presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Let's get a little flavor, a little fight songage. Hal Gill, in his sophomore season, looking for better things, being a New Englander, a big fan of the Patriots, he goes with the former Patriot legend, Bill Belichick, trying to come back from a horrific first year at UNC. The Tar Heels, an 8.5-point dog against TCU, the team that crushed them in their first game at Chapel Hill a year ago. In this game this year being played in Dublin, Ireland, an 11 a.m. start on Saturday. Chris Sanders, the forever Titan, trying to come back and win another championship. He takes Sacramento State, new members of the Mid-American Conference. Yes, Sacramento, California, that's where they're located. But they play in the MAC, and they're getting some action against Eastern Michigan in Ypsilanti. Sacramento State, a 10-point dog. And Adam Vingan, with the third pick, goes with Hawaii on the road to start the season, a 4-point dog against Stanford, who plays in the
Atlantic Coast Conference
with pride. And finally, defending champion, Derek Mason, the former Spartan, goes down the road to Memphis and jumps on the Tigers bandwagon. They travel to Vegas. And they will take on the running rebels of UNLV at Allegiant Stadium. Memphis is a 4.5-point dog. Remember, you can play as a member of the people and represent with the people's pick and win a prize in our next segment by calling 615-737-1025. Those are our picks for week, opening week. I don't want to say the word.
Do not say it,
Derek.
Willie.
Doesn't
Do
like
not
the
say
Z
it.
Word.
Do not say it. Don't even. No.
It's the opening weekend of college football. So, gentlemen, good luck.
Hey, fellas, I'm a big dog in a small yard. So what y'all going to do?
Good to have you gentlemen back. Good luck this season.
Yes. Good luck to everybody, but least of all, Chris Sanders.
What a rude awakening. What a rude way to start the competition.
Wow, I'm actually rooting the hardest against Hal Gill because he picked Carolina. But Chris, Hal, we love you. We're happy to have you back.
Too,
all right, it is time for you to make the people's pick. The first person to call 615-737-1025. You have 4 games at your disposal. I believe it's 4. Let me make sure. You can pick San Jose State over USC, NC State over Virginia, Jacksonville State over North Dakota State, or New Mexico State over Florida State. Those are your four choices. The first person to call at 615-737-1025 will represent the people. And if you represent the people and pick correctly, you win a pair of tickets to the Liberty Mutual Music City kickoff game as Ole Miss takes on Louisville at Nissan Stadium on Sunday, September 6th. Call now, 615-737-1025. The first caller will represent the people. Good luck, 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. All right, do you guys have a guess? What is the theme of today's show? The musical theme.
Everybody, all of the artists love rock and roll. Including
dance themes.
The theme of the show was bands whose biggest hit was a cover song.
I feel like we got that. Yeah, I feel like we got that.
You tiptoed around it.
I think the judges should give us credit.
All right, Connor, we'll let you decide.
I mean, they had
the
pieces,
I said that,
and it felt like they just never put it together.
They never landed the plane.
Yeah. It was like you were circling around the landing zone. You never
landed.
The theme was bands whose biggest hit was a cover song.
Well, my thing of the one and done, well, I guess Joan Jett was hardly a one and done. She had a lot of hits.
Yes.
So maybe I missed that way. But that should encompass what we're
That's
talking
what
about.
I don't know. I don't know.
I think so.
All right. Jeez. Let's go to our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, and welcome in Randy. Randy will represent the people this week in Silly Underdog Picks. Randy, welcome to the competition. Your selection, please.
North Carolina State over Virginia.
He's taking North Carolina State over Virginia. Thank you, Randy.
Randy, I am surprised that nobody took that.
I considered it. It is the non-conference ACC matchup between NC State and UVA.
Isn't that crazy to think?
What? It is. It is a non-conference game.
Why is it a non-conference game?
Hold on, I'll have to
let They're both in the same conference.
Yeah.
Indeed.
It's outside of the 9-game conference schedule.
Oh.
Why did they decide to play?
Exactly.
That's weird.
They're playing it as a non-conference game.
I've never heard that before, have you?
No. I mean, I feel like I've heard it before, but not from
They couldn't
a power
find
four.
Anybody
yeah.
else to play. Well, NC State's playing Vanderbilt in week three, so they have a game against the Power Four outside of the league. Why did they feel the need to play Virginia?
That's from a couple of years ago. This marks the second time in recent years that a pair of ACC rivals have scheduled a non-conference series.
They play nine conference games.
It's because of the ACC scheduling requirements. That's why it's considered a non-conference matchup.
That is funky.
Yes.
Wow.
So it will not count in the ACC standings, but two ACC tried and true programs.
And the well-traveled, as we chronicled, was it earlier this week or maybe late last week, that we talked about Bo Pribula.
Yes. Yeah.
Who was at, he's at Penn State for a long time playing. Then he went to Missouri. He was their starter last year.
Mm-hmm.
Had a pretty good year going, got hurt, and then visited six schools in 8 days.
Yes.
In the transfer portal.
Across the country.
And finally ended up in Virginia. I assume he's starting.
I believe he is.
Yes.
Okay. So the people have made their choice. I need to document that on my
Good luck to
scrolls.
Randy. If Randy wins, he will win a pair of tickets to the Liberty Mutual Music City kickoff game as Ole Miss takes on Louisville, Nissan Stadium, Sunday, September 6th. So good luck to Randy. And keep this in mind if you're new to the competition. You do not win for a cover. The underdog has to win outright.
Yes.
And what's interesting is, for those of us in the competition every week, we're trying to collect the points. The people aren't necessarily trying to collect the points. You could go big if you want, but I think Randy's playing smart. It's a 4-point spread, so there's a good chance he could pull off the upset and win. So good luck to Randy. During the break, I noticed this. A statement from Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry's office for his perspective on the pending battle.
I have no idea what this is going to read
between LSU
and
the
curious.
SEC. I'm not going to pretend to do a deep South Cajun accent or anything like that. Here is Jeff Landry's office's statement. Quote, "This whole thing is ridiculous. Don't hate the player, hate the game." That's what I said yesterday.
Gosh.
Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Governor said that?
His office said that. I've been saying for a year that college sports needs to be fixed. The NCAA could have done it. Congress could have done it. Neither did. Now the SEC is creating a legal mess over athletes it told were out of eligibility, only to change the rules afterward. The SEC accepted the court's decision on Diego Pavia and Trinidad Chambliss. Why is this different? You can't tell athletes their college careers are over, watch them move on, change the rules later, and then punish them for not predicting the
future.
Doesn't
he understand Diego didn't go to the NFL? He didn't play any NFL game, wasn't on a
Trinidad
NFL.
Trinidad Chambliss did not go to the NFL. I just want to commend Governor Landry for a really good job retyping Lane Kiffin's statement.
Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Yeah, I was just like, why don't I just hey. Like, but Coach Kiffin, that. Where was that statement you wanted me to read? Oh, here you go, Governor. Thank you. I'll just read it verbatim.
But to even bring in Diego Pavia and the other guy, I mean, it wasn't – those guys didn't
– it's a different situation.
They were not on NFL teams and NFL camps.
And those were crazy, gosh, too. I mean, let's be honest. Right?
I mean, they were, but they were not. But these were guys different. That were still sort of – these were guys that were still in college.
This
in
is new ground. Yeah. This is new ground.
Yeah, man. It's like college football. It's just – it's the upside down world we're living in when it comes to college football.
I guess TMZ has acquired the body cam footage of Jed York's arrest. I'm not sure if I want to watch this or not.
Oh, man. Nah.
But here's the thing with that is when Robert Kraft had his little issue with the, you know, the nice little whatever you want to call it.
Massage parlor. That's where he was at.
Massage parlor.
The Orchids of Asia.
The Orchids of Asia. He did not get sanctioned. He got embarrassed publicly, but he didn't have a penalty. So will Mr. York have any sanctions?
No.
No.
Mm-mm. Slap him on his wrist. The NFL will slap him on his wrist.
Just protecting their own.
What do you think the phone call would be from Roger Goodell to Mr. York? Hey, this is Roger. What are we doing? What are you thinking?
What were you thinking? Like, seriously. Dude. Man. Whew. Yeah. That's not good, man.
No, it is not.
Listen. Oh, I got a beef, too.
Uh-oh. All right.
But this beef isn't with college football.
Where is the beef, then? Yeah.
This beef is with individuals that choose to not pay attention or disregard flashing lights when you're in a school zone. Idiots, slow down. Driving to work earlier when I was late. Driving to work, part of, you know, of it was because I was driving slow through the school zone.
It was raining as
it
well.
It's raining. It's 15 miles per hour. It's a two-block sort of, it's just two blocks. That's it for you to drive 15 miles per hour. There were four people zooming, and I know they saw the blinking light because I saw it. And I could barely see, okay? There were blinking lights everywhere, and they went zooming through. And I'm thinking, like, where do you need to be that fast that you're zooming through a school zone light when it's flashing? People, have some awareness. The last thing you want to do is be you're speeding, not paying attention, and you run into somebody's kid. You hit someone's kid or just someone, period. And then you're going to feel bad. Just don't speed. Recognize the lights around you and do not speed. And it was raining, too. That just, oh, that irks me so much. Like, where do you have to be? It's only two blocks. Slow down. Man, I'm sorry.
No, I don't think anybody can argue with that.
Goodness.
Connor Newt, what's coming up on the 6?
Dr. Crane going to join the program. We're going to preview the joint practice going on tomorrow. Plus something fun that I've been thinking about. What in college football, what rivalries can we say that one team needs one team more than the other?
That is an interesting question. Yeah. I look forward to hearing your conversation with Nick Frazier about that coming up on the 6 at the top of the hour. That will do it for us today. We will be back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. As you just heard from Connor, the Titans will practice against the Chicago Bears. I'm not going to lie. I thought that practice was Friday. I didn't realize it was tomorrow. But good to know. So we look forward to seeing and hearing how the Titans perform in yet another joint practice with the Chicago Bears. But in the meantime, have a wonderful rest of your day. Slow down.
Please
in school
do.
Zones. Arlo Jules Vingan, 5 years old. Shout out. On my way home to eat some cake, buddy. Love you. Can't believe my son is already 5 years old. But that'll do it for us today. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Be loved, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful day. I love you. The team loves you. You hear that music? Don't you forget about us, because we will not forget about you. Back on these airwaves tomorrow, starting at 3 p.m. on 102.5, talking all things Titans, college football, recap the practice, and everything else sports around this time. And as I always say, we going to be talking and
you going to be listening.
Peace. The champ is here.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.